Curious City is supported by the Poetry Foundation, with a reminder that Chicago is the pulse of poetry. Visit the Poetry Foundation on the corner of Superior and Dearborn to explore their library of 40,000 books, attend public events, and view Frente a la Vida, Facing Life, a striking multidisciplinary art exhibition by Chicago artist Victoria Martinez. Learn more at poetryfoundation.org.
Sources and methods, the crown jewels of the intelligence community. Shorthand for how do we know what's real? Who told us? If you have those answers, you're on the inside, and NPR wants to bring you there. From the Pentagon to the State Department to spy agencies, listen to understand what's really happening and what it means for you. Sources and Methods, the new national security podcast from NPR.
WBEZ's nonprofit spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org.
What's up, Chicago? I'm Erin Allen, and this is Curious City.
The shortstop, number 17, Skyler Wallace.
What you're hearing is the sound of softball. Professional softball. And it's a game happening close to home, right next to O'Hare Airport, as you can probably hear. It's from earlier this month, part of an inaugural season of the Athletes Unlimited Softball League, or AUSL. We came out here to Rosemont because we wanted to see how things were going for this nascent national women's softball league playing right in our backyard. In our last episode, we focused on the local history of women's softball and baseball leagues, two in particular from back in the 1940s and 50s. You might already know about the Rockford Peaches from the film A League of Their Own.
Let's play hard, let's play smart. Use your head.
I said lump 3 feet above our ass, right, Jimmy?
In addition to that very real baseball league, we had pro softball around here back in those days, too. Chicago had a pro league with teams like the Bloomer Girls, who played in Forest Park, and the Match Corporation Queens, who played in Englewood. Both of those leagues disbanded in the 1950s. And in the decades since, women's pro softball and baseball leagues, well, things haven't been so sustainable.
Softball actually has a little bit spotty track record of professional softball. It's one that is inconsistent.
This is the commissioner of the AUSL, Kim Ang. We're going to talk with her more later in the episode. But first, she's right. Many pro softball leagues have come and gone over the years. There were some independent women's teams associated with the Negro Leagues that played pro ball in the 50s. There were other pro leagues in the 70s, in the 90s, and one that hung it up during the pandemic. When it comes to baseball, there hasn't been a pro women's league since the Rockford Peaches were playing. Opportunities for women have been mostly limited to playing in men's leagues, club teams, or Team USA.
But in terms of AUSL, this league is here to stay.
Ang is feeling confident for a number of reasons. One, professional women's sports are taking off.
Here's Clark. She fires. And goes!
Sends it out. Deep center field. Ella Parker walks it off for Oklahoma.
The WNBA is seeing record attendance. And this year's Women's College World Series was the most watched ever. And the AUSL, which we're watching today in Rosemont, has the backing of Major League Baseball. Ang is calling this a barnstorming season. Their franchises are not tied to particular cities yet, but they will be next year. Similarly, the all-new Women's Pro Baseball League is launching next year,
hosting the first U.S. women's baseball tryouts in more than 80 years. We are breaking
also
this
in six
right
to-be-determined cities. So what's going to give this league staying power? And what's all the hype about?
My name's Abby Brooke. We brought our daughter and some of her softball teammates out here just to enjoy the games today.
Well, today, we're going to put that question to a few folks. A decorated softball player, the league commissioner, and the fans.
We watched a lot of these girls in the College World Series and in their games, so just like to keep having the girls watch older mentors do softball.
It's a hot Wednesday in July.
My name is Paisley, and I came out here to watch Michaela Edenfield on the Volts team because she's my inspiration, and this was also a birthday gift.
It's a sellout crowd here in Rosemont. In fact, every game here this week was sold out.
Hey, my name is Steve. Just me and my wife and two daughters, and we drove from Jersey. My daughter plays 12U. I mean, it's awesome. It's just great to see women's sport thriving and showing women that they can do what men can do, and it's great.
The stadium at the Parkway Bank Sports Complex is small, only 2,000 seats, but it's packed.
My name is Sarah Gosher, and I grew up playing softball, coaching softball. Yeah, we make the trek over from Indiana as often as we can. To see all of these little kids out here, and the girl in front of us, like, I bat second, Skylar Wallace bats second, and that's so cool, and it's fun to see the growth of the game.
On the day I went out there, I got to talk to one of the league's stars, somebody who's working hard to make sure this league has longevity.
My name is Megan Faramo. I pitch for the Talons. I'm a part of the AUSL Athletes Unlimited Softball League.
Megan is a pitcher, a Team USA gold medalist, and she loves her some softball. What is it about softball?
What is it not about softball? I can literally talk about softball for days, and my friends tell me that I need to not do that, but nothing makes me more happy than softball and pitching specifically.
I saw that your walk-up song is Fire,
yes,
by the Ohio Players, which I ain't heard that song since, you know, I was a little kid. Why did you choose that song?
I love telling this story. My dad and I collaborated on that one. My dad, we were doing the thing, like we sit in the living room. This is after I committed to play softball at UCLA.
I see.
They asked for my walk-up song. It's like, I literally have no idea. I'll hop on that right now. So we go sit and listen. We're going through all of these songs, all these different genres, like Ice Cube was in there, Nelly, Zapp and Roger. And then my dad plays Fire by Ohio Players. He's like, Meg. Listen to this, like it has to be. Yes, but you know what specifically is the fire alarms in the beginning, like the and then yeah, it's like fire, dun dun dun. And he made me close my eyes, visualize myself walking out to the mound, and I was like, oh my gosh, I would literally throw flames if I walked out to this song, Dad. I've got to choose this one. Yes, yes. So that has been my walkout song since my freshman year.
All right, I can't bury the lead any longer here. Just a few hours after this conversation with Megan, she took the mound here in Rosemont.
Faramo gets set for the start tonight against this Blaze lineup who's been hot.
And of course, she threw flames.
Six up, six down for Megan Faramo. Four strikeouts.
She finished with seven strikeouts, gave up just one run, and she pitched the whole time.
Back to Faramo to first, and that will do it. She started the game with a 1-2-3 inning. She ends the game with a 1-2-3 inning. A dominant performance from the Talons.
Prior to a league like this existing, what were the ways that softball players like yourself, what were the opportunities for you to play? Like, you went to high school, you played in college, you're representing the country, playing all over the world. What void does the AUSL fill as a league?
Well, so there has been professional softball leagues. There's actually a great history of it. They just never panned out. I think nothing was very sustainable. There's always been opportunities abroad. Like the Japan League I play in has been around for decades now. But that's in Japan. We have to leave to make like real money and to do all the things. I think this is for the first time this year the AUSL has given us an opportunity to almost make this our J-O-B job.
If your job is a J-O-B job, that means you're making a living wage, right? Naturally, that raises another question. How much do the players make? The league website says an average salary for a player in the AUSL is $45,000. Now, depending on your perspective, that might be pretty decent for a few months of work, or it might be shockingly terrible. In the grand scheme of professional sports, with men's baseball, football, and basketball players who can make many millions a year, clearly that's a fraction. But for a player in a new, untested league, That's not nothing. Is it something?
For now, there's a lot of players in the league that do have second jobs as coaches or are working on like their masters and doing a bunch of different things. But I think it's very plausible to see a sustainable future with AUSL for
okay.
sure.
I saw that you're turning 25 this month. Happy birthday.
Thank you so much.
25 is the year that they say the brain is fully baked, fully cooked. How are you feeling? Are you feeling like...
I'm scared. I'm nervous. That's hilarious that you bring this up because I've been talking about this since I turned 24. I'm like, oh my, I literally only have one more year and I'm fully developed and that's it. That's it for me. I'm going to be the same person my entire life, which is so drama.
It's not true. Can I just say, as a 38-year-old, you are still going to have evolution so much after this.
Okay, see, okay, that's you know, also that so exhausted. Way? Well, then that sounds kind of exhausting. Like.
All right. Well, I tried. Thinking about little Megan, 6-7-year-old Megan getting into the game of softball, to the next little 6-year-old, maybe showing up to see the talents play today, what would you want that little player to walk away from the game feeling after seeing you play?
Joy. Definitely joy. Like for me, I'm a very intense, very passionate player. For someone else, they have to be smiling and cracking jokes while they're on the field. And I can never do that. But that's what allows them to be great, and me screaming my head off after a strikeout, that's what allows me to be great. And I would hope that that little girl is able to identify with someone or even just decide what brings her the most joy, I think is really, really important. And I think that's what keeps kids in the sport as well.
Mm-hmm.
She goes down looking. That is three straight backwards Ks to start the game for Megan Faramo.
Megan Faramo, thank you so much.
Thank you. I'm so happy I was able to do this, and I really look forward to seeing you guys at the field.
The playoffs for the AUSL began July 26th. The Talons face the Bandits for a 3-game championship series in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. The games are on ESPN. I posed some larger questions about the future of this new league with Commissioner Kim Ng, who you might know as the former general manager of the Miami Marlins.
Those poor Marlin fans.
Kim was born in Indianapolis, but she grew up in Queens, where she played stickball, softball, and catch with her dad. In college, she played at the University of Chicago. Then she interned with the Chicago White Sox, beginning a long career in Major League Baseball, including roles with the Yankees, the Dodgers, and most recently, the Marlins. That's where she made history as the first woman GM of a major American men's pro sports team. Tell me about the switch to softball and women's softball. How did you get here and how does it feel?
Sure. I enjoyed my time in Miami. You know, I felt like we were really on our way. We accomplished something that had only been done, I think, 3 other times in Marlins history. We got to the postseason. I think we had the 4th best record in Marlins franchise history.
Yeah, sure.
But afterwards, I remember so vividly watching the NCAA Women's College Basketball Finals, where Caitlin Clark was leading that Iowa team. And just the incredible excitement that revolved around her and doing a little bit more homework because I had been so immersed in, on the men's side.
Sure.
But learning more about what was going on and understanding the long uphill climb that the WNBA had gone
yes.
through, the number of iterations that the NWSL had gone through, and to see it culminating in, Caitlin Clark's being drafted, then seeing viewership and fandom increase so much, really was for me as a woman who had done some pretty interesting things in her career.
Sure.
And now witnessing this, I think was, you know, it was just so incredible for me. And then I got this call. And it was funny. I mean, all these circumstances around it, I joined Athletes Unlimited as a senior advisor. And then, you know, several months ago was named commissioner. So obviously a little bit of a long story there. But I think really aligns with what I've done in the past and just trying to create as many opportunities as we can for women and mentoring along the way as well.
Yeah. I'm thinking about women's basketball, and you talked about this a little bit. It's just getting so much more play, so much more popularity right now. And I wonder if you are inspired by that in any way in your leadership with AUSL or if you're pulling anything from that.
Oh, absolutely. Completely inspired by what they're doing. But, you know, it took a long time. You know, I think they're in their 29th year. And so I think, you know, for us at AUSL, we have to remember that. And we have to remember that, you know, it was a lot of hard work, a lot of years, and it was a slow go. So I think, you know, as we make business decisions, we will need to be methodical and thoughtful, making sure that, you know, we're not out there over our skis.
Yeah. The teams are not associated with specific cities at the moment, though they will be come 2026. Why is that?
We wanted to really see what the markets were like. You know, It's sort of like dating before you get married, right? And so, you know, you can always talk about it in concept and in the abstract, but until you actually go through it and, you know, understand who your partners are. You know, we want everyone to want us that we are going to be partners with.
Sure.
And so we really want to get into these towns and markets and experience that firsthand.
Yeah. Well, I hear you saying it's been sold out every last time here in Rosemont. I mean, is Rosemont on the list or Chicago even?
Absolutely. I mean, you have to consider somewhere that has a Jenny Finch way.
Jenny Finch, for the uninitiated, is one of the most dominant and influential American softball players ever. She pitched for the University of Arizona about 25 years ago and helped Team USA win a pair of Olympic medals. The softball stadium at Rosemont is located on a street named after her, 27 Jenny Finch Way. I would be remiss if I did not ask you about the All-American League that happened, you know, so long ago, World War II era. Do you ever think about that league? Do you think about the movie? I mean, do you think about any of that ever?
I do. Yeah. I do. One of my favorite movies. I think about it often. I'm actually friends with Maybelle Blair, who played in that league.
Okay.
So Maybelle, I think, is 98 years old.
Oh, my God. I was like, you friends with this person? Like,
or more, okay. She's taken me under her wing.
Oh,
how about that?
that's lovely. Wow, what an honor.
Yeah, no, incredible honor. She was supposed to make it out here for opening day, but it was a little bit tough. It became a little bit tough for her. So she didn't make it out, but a huge supporter of what we're doing here. I think any opportunities for women, you know, and that's a lot of what they were fighting for as well back then. But the movie itself, I think the tale of, you know, that battle, that fight,
yeah.
It's unfortunately endless. yeah, we're still fighting. But I think it hits home for so many. It really does.
You know, on that note, what are some of the things that you hope hit home with fans, with people who are watching this sport, specifically with AUSL?
You know, I'll tell you, when we are just walking during the game, you know, and looking out over the fans or after the game, a number of Athletes Unlimited staffers have been thanked numerous times, you know, by dozens and dozens of people. Number one, for what we're doing and building and creating. And number two, you know, just for providing these opportunities for them, for their daughters. Like, this is for them. And when you see them in the stands, you know, cheering their heads off and getting so into it and seeing themselves out there, I think is what we all hope for the most. You know, I've gone back to this example, Jenny Finch, who we've talked about,
yes,
a little bit now. You know, if she had had this type of platform and this type of league with where we are right now, she would have been able to play for 15, 20 years like Derek Jeter and Aaron Judge.
Wow, yeah.
And the guys have had this for over 100 years, and here we are, we're still fighting for it. So, I mean, those are the things that, you know, when you talk about starting it from scratch and what it looks like and what you, you know, what your vision and what you can imagine, those are the things that you hope for. And that these, you know, young women out there on the field keep inspiring all those little ones out in the stands.
Yeah, beautiful. Kim Eng, thank you so much.
Thank you. Appreciate being here.
There's still time left to see some pro softball in Rosemont this year. The AUSL's All-Star Cup runs from August 19th through the 31st. You can find more info about attending those games at theausl.com. This episode of Curious City was produced by me and Justin Bull. Susie Ahn is our editor. Earlier on, you heard from Abby Brooke from Elmhurst, Steve Stokes from New Jersey, and Sarah Goschert from Indiana. You also heard from Paisley, who we spoke to with permission from her mother, Megan. Paisley told us that she wants to play softball professionally for her favorite team, the Volts. Curious City is a production of WBEZ Chicago and is a part of the NPR network. If you have questions about Chicago and the region, send them our way at curiouscity@wbez.org or visit us at wbez.org/curiouscity. I'm Erin Allen. Thank you for listening. I'll talk to you next week.
Rise and shine. WBEZ is serving local stories for breakfast every weekday morning from 5 to 11. Tune in on the WBEZ app to hear what Chicago's talking about as you start your day.